Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Hallelujah. Well, in a few minutes, I've got left so much. I want to continue with our teachings on stepping into your new season. Stepping into your new season. I spoke about Peter stepping out of the boat and walking towards Jesus. For the first time, it's a new thing for him. He said, Father, he said, Jesus, if it be you, bid me also to come to thee. And Jesus said, come. And he stepped out. And when he was stepping out, it wasn't very easy for him. He was stepping out to walk on water, something his grandfather never did, his father never did. He didn't see anybody doing it, and he started walking on water. I see you walking on water. I see you doing something that has never been done in your family. Say amen. And then we spoke about the story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, when the Lord said, leave thy house, leave thy kindred, leave your father's house into a land that I will show thee. In Genesis 12 chapter 1. And he stepped out, not knowing where he was going. He stepped out. And Genesis chapter 12 verse 1, you see him going. And by Genesis chapter 13, the Lord has blessed him with cattle, with gold, with riches, and with honor. Say amen. And so we see God also sending Moses into Egypt. I was wondering, why didn't God bless Abraham in his father's house? His father was a pagan. He took him out to bless him. God took the Israelites out of Egypt before he blessed them. So there's always a need for you to sometimes step out, separate yourself, move out to see the fullness of God's blessings. Now let me show you a scripture in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 6. Deuteronomy, chapter 1, and the verse number 6. And the Lord, our God, speak unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto, to the plain, in the hills, and in the valley, and in the south, by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, unto Lebanon, unto the great river, and the river Euphrates. Say amen. Look at verse 8. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. See, what the Lord said, that ye have dwelt long enough on this mountain. In other words, step out. Move to the original place where the Lord has intended you to go. So this year, 2025, you are stepping out. Say amen. Say, Father, help me this year to step out. Hallelujah. Whilst we were away in the UK, we had the resident pastor preaching. It was not an easy preaching at all. Ace, we were all watching you from London. It was fire. It shows that the church has a future. Yes. And that is our greatest joy, that when we are not there, church will still continue. And then from there, the following week, then we had Chaser Philip, the Walking Bible. Pastor Stanley said you quoted 56 scriptures and read all. You have a sharp brain. I am sending Pastor Affiliate to the UK to go and do school of ministry. We are stepping out. He's got his visas. He's got everything. He will be away for 3 months. London and then Milton Keynes. He's going to be one-man teacher. He's teaching all the subjects. There are 16. How many subjects are there in the School of Ministry? Is it 20, whatever? There are about 26. 26 subjects. And he's teaching all. You quote all the scriptures. And then you go to, you do that for 6 weeks in London and then 6 weeks in Milton Keynes. And then afterwards he will join us in June for Holy Ghost Action Campaign. So I want you all to bless him as he's preparing to go. Give him pounds, give him money. I'm looking for a place for him to stay in London. So if you have a house or you have a friend or whatever, I want you to be comfortable. Say amen. So Chaser Philip, congratulations for your trip to the UK. We are stepping out from the UK, is moving to the US for Bible school and school of ministry. Say amen. Kato, you are talking though. I think he will leave after the anniversary. The week after the anniversary, we will all go to the airport with brass band. Bobo group to see him off. And he mustn't go empty. He must go loaded with pounds from Ghana. He's not going there as a sufferer. Charles, congratulations. I'm very proud of you. So the Lord God spoke unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough on this mountain. That means that there is more for you to step out to do. And so look at where you are and ask yourself, is it what the Lord designed for me? Am I satisfied? If you are very satisfied, you are okay. We thank God for you. But there are so many of us who are not happy. You are not fulfilled. This is not where God spoke to you. This is not where God showed you. So as a church, we are doing so many things. We are doing prayer convocation in May, in New Jersey. All our churches in the U.S. are coming. We are doing things. We are doing prayer convocation, Africa edition. We are going to Liberia. We are going to gather people. We are stepping out. So you too must step out to do something. And the next few minutes I've got left, I'm going to give you 12 areas you must step out. Say amen. And I want to provoke you to move out and do something new. And let me tell you, it is not very easy to step out. There are uncertainty, there are fears, there are doubts, you are not too sure, would you lose your investment? All those things are there. But you see, until you take a step, you will not see the faithfulness of God. Until you move, you will not see how God can sustain you. You have to take a step, and you have to take a step by faith, knowing that the water beneath your feet will be solid for you, that you will walk on water. But when you stay in the boat, hanging around with the same old people, the same adicromental spirit, adicrona, you will not see God. You will not, and you are not too old to step out. You may be 50, 60, 70, 80. Moses was 80 years when the Lord took him out to go and bring the people. So you are never too old. So you have to step out. You have to move. So number one, you must step out into your new line of business. You must step into your new system of business. Start something. Start and do something. It has been at the back of your mind that you want to do this particular business. You've been thinking about it. You have prayed about it. You have fasted. Now take that step into your new line of business. You want to go into something production. You want to go into poultry. You want to go into yam. You want to go into so many things. Step it out and do it. Say amen. Number two, you have to step out into your ministry. There is a call of God upon your life. But that should have been the first one. There's a call of God upon your life. Go to Bible school. Go to school of ministry. Become a minister of the gospel. Do something spiritual. You've been saying that, I feel that God is calling me. I feel that God. You've been saying that for years. Now step out and fulfill the call of God upon your life. Say, I hear you, Pastor. Do the work of God. You see, when you don't fulfill the call of God upon your life, you will never find rest in your soul. You will never be at peace with yourself. It will always be at the back of your mind that I must do more for God than I am doing. I must do more. I must become a lay pastor. A pastor who is not on full time, but I'm doing you and your wife, you must start a new branch of CEM at where you stay, where you live. You and your wife. That's how branches spread. You have come here, you have sat under our ministry, we have taught you, you have gone to Bible school, but you are still sitting down. When you ought to be teachers, you are still being taught. So step out, start a fellowship in your house, in your hall, look for a meeting place, and start a branch of CEM at where you are coming from. It's a new thing you are going to do. Will people come? You don't have no idea. Will people come? Will I get... One of my daughters said, Reverend, when you made me a pastor, the first thing I said is that, will I have a sermon to preach every Sunday? that was a problem. I said, if you don't have any sermon to preach, listen to my preaching and then preach it the following Sunday. So that is how she started. To listen to the preaching like today and then preach it the following Sunday. Before we realized, she herself, God has developed sermons in her life. And she's preaching. There are preachers. Preachers sitting down listening to me. Preachers. When I give you microphone now and I give you this pulpit, you will preach us all standing. So step out and do ministry. Step out and do fellowship and find yourself. You see, the opportunity will not bring itself. You have to create the opportunity for yourself. And say, I want to do this for God. Say amen. Number three, you must step out into your season of education. You have potential. You couldn't finish some educational things in your life. So now that you have married, you have two girls or three children, everything. Now go back to school. Go and do your master's. Go and fulfill that. It's also a calling. Step out and complete what you have started. Say hallelujah. Because you have the potential, you have the capacity to re-educate yourself and do some courses, online courses or some things, or to improve on yourself. You have it. You can do it. Say, I can do it in Jesus' name. Number four, you must step into your season of traveling. Travel. You have been at Ecomog Pillar 2 for the past 31 years. Ecomog. Travel. And explore and find business or want to do certain things. So travel. Get a visa. Go somewhere. Expand your mental horizon. You can't be caged in Agbogba all this time. You market there, there is a land to be possessed. So go into that land. I have already, look at what he said here. He said, turn you and take your journey, verse 7, and go to the mount of the Amorite, unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the valley, and in the south, by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Look at it. He said, behold, I have set the land before you. It means that potentially, futuristically, I have already set the land. Go in and possess it. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your father. In other words, if you don't take a step, you will not possess. If we don't branch out, we will not expand as a church. We have planted churches here. We've got a meeting place in France. We have to show the French place. We've got a meeting place in France. The apostle is going to France to stay there for how long will it be there? 2-3 weeks. I don't know. To plant our branch in France. We are going to speak French. And some of you should move to France and start. We don't have a pastor in France. Do we have a pastor in France? No. We don't know anybody in France. We have just registered the church. We've got the meeting place, but we don't know anybody in France. But we are going to plant the church there. Which we have a space in France. Yeah? Next week I'll show you the auditorium and everything. There's a guy in France who has helped us. And there are pockets of CEM members in France. We are going to pull them to help us. Then we have a church in Netherlands. We have planted a church in Netherlands. Oh, Apostle, the Netherlands church. From there we are going to Germany to plant a church in Germany. Then we are going to, then the from there is where? Germany, France, and Amsterdam. Not Amsterdam and Netherlands, are they the same country? Amsterdam is different from Netherlands. Okay. God has already given it that we are moving to possess it. So you too, branch out, move out, travel, do connections with other countries and make it a big time. Say amen. Hallelujah. Am I teaching somebody here? Yeah. Branch into a new season of childbirth. Have more children. The one child that you have, no, it's not enough. Have 2 or 3 children. Impregnate your wife. And have more children. See? Have it. One of my wife's auntie gave me a very good and a bad advice. He said, She has 7 children. I think 3 died. He said she has 7 children, 3 died, but 4 is left. By your case, so that one child that you are worshipping in the house is not enough. That one girl that you have in heaven, for which you are jumping every day and worshiping the girl, is not enough. Have more children. It's a new season. I know women have told themselves that, I'm done having children. I'm done. You are not done having children. It is the trauma you went through with your last child. The way you suffered, the way you bled, and that is why it has traumatized you. You don't want to have more children. We'll be calm. It will not be that the last, I have more children. Go and plant, go for people to plant more children inside your womb. These days there are all kinds of things they are doing, IVF, they are doing so. Go and let them plant children. It's all part of God's technology. Don't put your mind that koko, it is the way I must have children. No. Expansion has come. Ideas. You are 50 years. They will plant twins inside your womb right now and have more children. Say hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody here? So all those women who are saying that the way I suffered with the last boy, where I went, what I went through, the way I bled, no, it's in your past. If everybody wants to depend or look towards his painful past, then the world will not progress. Then we will not advance, because everybody was traumatized by the last thing he did a year, 2 years, 3 years ago, what you went through when you wanted to start your business. We all go through it. We as a church, we have also had our own share. I've lost people. Some people died in my church, and it wasn't easy for me at all. People died. People used to sit here. Some of them are sick. But I'm moving on. I will not be stuck with the fact that because I lost A or B, you know, I will not move. I've lost people. I've recovered. I have moved on. I'm planting more churches. I'm doing more things. I'm traveling. When we're expanding our work. So don't look at your trauma and the challenges you went through to sit at the same place and fold your arms. No. Move out. Do something new. Have another baby. I had a couple in this church. For years, they were not having children. One day, I called them. I said, look, we have prayed for you and you are not having children. Go and adopt. So, Reverend, I said, adopt. People have children who are waiting. There are children waiting to be adopted. Your child should not be necessarily your biological. I want my baby to come from my womb. It doesn't work, always work that way. So, somebody to have delivered a child, he couldn't look after. Go and take that child and look after the child as well. This couple took my advice and they adopted a baby boy. Baby. Today, every time they see me, they thank me. Reverend, the advice you gave us 20 years ago. Look at our son. He's now, is he 18? Now he's 17. Yeah, 17. Nice boy, very smart boy. And everything. So you are sitting there and I'm waiting for the Lord. Until the Lord, look, the Lord is also waiting for you. For you, try something. Hey, didn't we go on to be? Didn't we go on to see? Whatever, it's adoption. Go and look for. Hide your wife somewhere before she comes here. Is carrying a baby. Nobody's going to find out the DNA of the child. It's also a human being that has come. Hide your wife somewhere before she comes. Go and put balloon in your wife's stomach. And then you have adopted a baby, that's it. There are children waiting to be mothered and fathered. You have a big house, you have a night, whatever. There's no child in the house. Do something about it. And stop being religious. Do something. You are 60 years old, go and adopt a baby. Unless you become a childless woman. You'll be lying down in your house and there is no son, no daughter. Step out. Tell somebody, step out. And then those of you who have grown a bit old, but you don't have a wife, you don't have a husband, and you are saying that, well, I married once, and the marriage didn't go well because of that, Reverend, I'm taking my time. How long will you be taking your time to marry again? The first girl left you. You cry, blow, 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 and everything. Blow your nose, comb your head, and marry again. Marry again. Blow your nose, comb your head, marry again. Wear your jeans, come back. Don't become an old lady. Reverend, the way my first marriage went, you know, the way I trusted this guy, the way what's happened, I don't know what I can forgive. You have cried enough. Marry again. Marry again. And the second marriage will be better. Because there are certain things you have learned after your first marriage. There are lessons you have learned. It takes two to tango. You can't clap with one hand. So even though your husband didn't do this, there's also a part that you also play that. You can't quarrel by yourself. You can't wake up in the morning and be quarrel with yourself. It takes two to quarrel. So we fought. We had a problem. And then he left, or she left, or we divorced. But that doesn't mean that your world has come to an end. Marry again. Have a child. All those of you are stuck in certain things because of the trauma. Because of the trauma. You have to break out of that spirit. You know God better. You have learned your lessons. Now move on. Move on. Seek counseling, prayers. And when somebody, you see, there are some women who were so traumatized with their previous marriage that when a man is approaching them, then it triggers their past. It acts as a trigger. Hey, we are baby, or somebody be having. My previous marriage, AC Choir, you know, I'm very, very, very careful. You be very careful, sir, and be a careful failure. Men are the same. All men are equal. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes those voices are satanic. They are demonic voices to prevent you from stepping out to marry again. Marry again. When you started, you didn't mean to have a divorce, but the divorce came. You didn't want to have a divorce in your life. Reverend, one of my ladies said, Reverend, I vowed that I would not divorce. I will not. So this one has tainted, it has tainted my image. I feel so bad. Well, you are not the only one. Lady Diana and Charles. It was the wedding of the century. Prince Charles, a very handsome man, married the sweetheart of the world, Princess Diana. Very pretty. Who will marry Princess Diana and divorce her? She's the world princess. And yet that marriage at that height broke down. And when I saw the alternative, I said, oh my God. When I saw the alternative, I said, Lord have mercy. Because you couldn't compare the alternative to the original. So if that marriage that was watched by the world broke at that level, then your own, it was a small incident, be that the world didn't know that you went to a divorce. So marry again and have another child. Marry again. Step into your season of relationship. Have relationships. Have a relationship. This time, be a little more careful. Step into your new season of projects. Have a project. Build a house. Amen. You see, don't be happy that you are living in somebody's house and you are paying rent, and you've been paying rent for the past 20 years. And then convince yourself that, well, this is the way my life is going to be. No. You have to look for a place and build yourself a house. That is why we came out with a scheme for you to be able to buy a land at Okrom. And I'm glad that many, many of you have bought lands there. And they gave you opportunity to pay bit by bit. Now we are entering to phase 4 of the place. And there will be more lands to be sold. And when the announcement comes, go! Register. Get a land. Build a house. You cannot be in somebody's house for the rest of your life. It's a new season. Go into project. Build a factory. Build something. Build a farm. Build something. Say, I hear you, Pastor. Yeah, go into projects. Don't be. There are people who don't venture into anything. It's a very bad position you have taken. You don't like to buy a truck of sand. You don't want to buy cement. You don't want to lay anything. You are very, very comfortable with your small Toyota Yaris and your two-bedroom house and your work with your small desk in a small office. You are very content, which is very good. Godliness and contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great. You are God, you are content with your small house, but you are living in somebody's house. So it is not full contentment. You become content when you build your own house. Little by little. Buy 10 blocks. Buy 20 blocks. Before you realize you are doing it. When you take a step, you'll be surprised how God will help you. You'll be surprised how God will open doors for you. You'll be surprised. That is what he said. Move out. Step out. I've already given you the land. Go eat and possess it. So start. Build. When you carry, those of you at Pokrom, these are your instructions. Those of you are going to build in Pokrom, this is right. When you start building in Pokrom and you are sending 100 blocks or 200 blocks, 20 blocks belongs to the church. The truck has to pass through our land, because you pass through our land before you go to your land, and drop the 20 blocks. If you are carrying 50 bags of cement, drop 5 bags as a tithe before you enter your plot. If you are sending 10 trips of sand, drop 2 trips at the site in the house of God. And when you do that, God will open the doors for you. Am I talking to somebody here?
Yes.
Build God's house. Right now, we've started building for crop. We are building 780 car park on 7 levels. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Another one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Where is Architect Daniel? Is Architect Daniel here? Architect Daniel, is he here? Get up. This is the guy who... Get up. This is the guy who designed our car park in Pokrom. We are going to park about 700 cars, right? He designed it. God got everything. He didn't charge us even one city for that. He didn't charge us one city like this. He just designed it. And then this season, we are going to build retaining walls. We are going to whatever. So come next year, the car park ready for your new car to come and park there where we go to prayer convocation. And then we have designed an architect. Michael has designed a 5,000-seater temporary shed, which we are building now. We are about to start. We started it first, and then we halted because we need to buy a lot of iron rods and things, and we are building it. And we have a $200,000 roofing over. It's bigger than this place. It's bigger, prior than this place. Ground floor. That's where we are going to start the prayer cover. We are stepping out. And I want that fever to be caught by my members. That you too, you are stepping out to try something new. Start your restaurant. Start the Achomo business. Start the tie and dye business. Start the cocoa business. Start it. Start your poultry. I'm about to start a poultry farm. I've been wanting to do poultry for a long time. I want to do poultry. I want to do 100,000 beds. Yeah. Myself and Pastor Stanley. Yes. Yes. Are you there? Oh, Reverend, are you going to do poultry? Yes, I've been wanting. When I married my wife, he said, what business are you? I said, I'm going to be a poultry farm. Before I realized, I started preaching. I preached and I'm going back to it. And I have the land. I'm clearing the land. You come and buy beds for me. So last year, I gave out poultry beds as a gift to people. Yeah. To trigger the main one. You see, during the Thanksgiving, the poultry, the beds that were given to people, no? That was my seed to people. Okay, so is it not true? I gave out beds, live beds, chicken, several. Eh? Do you see my books, the books that I sold? Those books, I used them to build a site office at Pokro. I'll show you the pictures. I don't know where the pictures are. I'll show you the site. All the books I sold, I didn't take any money from it. I used all the books to build a site. I am sowing seeds first. So that when I become a multi-millionaire, you will not be envious of me. Because I've sowed seeds. That is what I'm saying. That when you are going to start your project at Pokro, drop some blocks at the site of the church before you take your truck there. Your sandstone, cement, iron rod, drop sand. If there are two lines of it, drop it, sow seed. Now they are telling me that, how do you call it? When we're going to prayer convocation, we carry our books with us. We sold the books. They brought me the money. I have brought the money intact in the envelope. I'm going to use it to roof the site office. I'm sowing a seed. I'm preparing the ground because I'm going to move with speed. Some of you are doing things. God has prospered you. You don't think about the church. Think about the kingdom, the church. Sow a seed. Do something to trigger yours. You want to have a child. Feed other children. Look after other children. You want to, anything you want to do, sow a seed in line of that. And then step out. Don't be always self-centered, inward-looking, just you and your husband and your two children. That's all you think about. And you just come to church and sometimes give the church peanuts. When you know you are blessed, you know you have money. This coming anniversary, the people who are coming, it's cost. Some of the people who are coming, it's cost. But we need the grace upon their life to also fall upon sin. And so we are spending money to bring them. And we are believing God that the last day we will raise 1 million Ghana cedis to pump into our Pokro projects. So that come 2026 January, we shall do prayer convocation there. And then we are going to build 4,000 sleeping places. We have the design already. Oh, Michael, how many people will you sleep? About 4,000. 3,800, yeah. We have 3,000 sleeping places. 800 sleeping places. We are going to, when we finish, we are going to, we want strategic investors. So that when we build, we'll be renting it. We're renting, people will be having retreats. Instead of they traveling to Koforodia to go and do whatever, we have Koforodia. We are building something nicer than Koforodia. Don't say that I said it too. Yeah. I didn't mention any name. Big auditorium, conference hall, swimming pool, table tennis court, 1,000-seater dining. I have those pictures. So it's been there. If you have the pictures, show them. So that this is the new season of CEM. We are branching out. We are planting churches. We are building a Pokro prayer convocation center. We are building a whole community. We are stepping out. So be part of the stepping out. So people were saying that, when the church starts doing her building, then we'll also start out. Now we have started. So come to your plots. Come and clear the plots. Deep sand and stones. Start. Say, I hear you. Young people, instead of running around dishing your money to girls, start something. Start a new season of building your own house. And then step into your new season of commitment to your calling. God has called you to do something. commit yourself as a chorister, protocol, as an usher, as prayer warrior, as whatever. Commit yourself to the work you have been doing. I remember when I gave Charles, I said, Charles, you are going to be the educational minister in this church. Take care of school of ministry, take care of Bible school, take care of leadership, whatever. He accepted the challenge and he committed himself, he schooled himself, whatever, he's now in charge. I don't go to the school to go and lecture. He does all, connect the lecture every day. Now, he's becoming international. He was committed, faithful, first intercessor. Now I've removed him from the intercessory department, I've put somebody else there. And now he's going to leave the Bible school to people like Michael. Michael, you know it in the Bible school. You and some other people. This get up. You and who are in charge of the Bible school now? Tilly, where is Tilly? And all that. These are people going to be charged. And whilst he now opens another door in Europe to do school of ministry, people from all over are going to read and he's going to stand there and lecture on 26 subjects without looking into a Bible. And somebody will see him. And then it will be another level. When you are committed to what God has done, it triggers a chain reaction of God's blessings. One day I came on a compound and I said, come here, I'm sending you to the UK. I said, get your passport ready, get this document. I call resident pastor, give him all the documents he needs, support everything. I sign his letter, everything. I said, go to the embassy. And I prayed for him. When he went back, they give him the visa. It's because of commitment. Why? You are not too serious with what you are doing. You are a chorister. You are not sure. Sometimes you come. Sometimes you are offended. Sometimes this. Every time you are new, you are all over the place. You will not get anywhere. We are texting you. We have to follow you up. We have to come to your house. We have to be calling you. Hey, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Munjami, how? I'm on my way. We have to encourage you. Today you are resigned. Tomorrow you are back. Today you are resigned. I can't stand people who resign from God's work. To me, God's work is for life. It's for life. To commit yourself in that small commitment, no, it will trigger a chain of blessings. Sometimes you are blessed, you don't know why you are blessed. You have been blessed because of your commitment to God's work. The ladies is called Helps Ministry. Yeah, they committed. When I went to the US and I was showing, they went and showed the Helps Ministry. They are wearing their hat. I saw James' wife and everything. I said, have you seen all these pretty ladies in my church? These are all business women who have come together, rich women, and they buy grains, 1,000 bags of rice, 1,000 bags of garri. The people were wild. They said, Reverend, we are ready. Their commitment affected the church that I went and preached. They were showing the videos to them over many years. So you have found yourself in Lifeline. You have found yourself in Health Ministry. You have found. Be there. Commit yourself. Money, time, energy. There is nothing more important than committing yourself to something that has to do with the kingdom and for humanity. Yes. As a church, we have received several local and international award because of our commitment. One of the things that one of my fathers said, he said, Reverend Steve, one of the reasons why I want to come to your church and I keep coming every time is because of you people, your commitment to the cause of the gospel. That with all the controversies happening in our city, you guys are focused on soul winning, taking care of the poor people, building ability village, helping the sick and everything. That's one of the reasons why I like coming to your church. This way, he said, and I use you, he said, I use your church as an example of how you can be committed and be consistent on something. You guys, as long as I have remembered, you have been committed to rural evangelism. You are not into politics, you are not into anything, you are just focused on God's way. It's the reason why I love your church. He's a general talking to me when I went to send him the invite. Are you there or you're not there? So commit yourself. This is your new season of commitment. They shouldn't text you, cajole you, come to your house. A group of people have come to your house and then they have to sit down with you to now settle scores because somebody offended you. Every day you are nursing offenses. Step into your season of branches of your business. You've done one business in one place. Spread it. Spread it. Hallelujah. Are you there? Now, step also into your season of personal development. Personal development and growth. Grow yourself. Read books. Attend conferences to expand your mental horizon. Know things. Attend courses. And finally, step into your new season of personal health care and hygiene. You yourself know. Step into your new season of your care. Walk. Do exercise. Smell well. You see, sometimes you need oral hygiene. Improve on it. Personal life. The way you smell, the way you look. Crop your hair. Some of you, you have a beard. You are just 40 years old. You have a beard. You look like 70 years. Remove the beard or trim it. Your hair. Look well. Dress well. Smell well. Tell your wife or your fiancé, look, if I'm not smelling well, please tell me. And she will tell you things that will shock you. She will tell you things. You're like, oh, over this time, she doesn't want to tell you that you have to brush. I have a son. Anytime he appears in my house, I get upset. He's so unkempt. He's so not well dressed. Orally, everything. I'm like, why? So I called the wife. I said, do you talk to your husband? When your husband is leaving your house, do you see? Say, Reverend, I always tell you, he should shave. He should brush his teeth. Sometimes you just put water in his mouth. Oh, blah, 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 he's out. So what kind of behavior is that? You don't rinse your mouth with water and storm out. In the name of, I'm busy. No. Take care of yourself. Walk, go to the gym. Look well. Go to the barbering shop. Crop your hair. Do your nails. Personal development, personal growth, health care. Take medication, exercise, take your medication to lower your blood pressure, to deal with your sugar. Take care of yourself. Shave your armpits. Smell it yourself. What are you smelling well? Sometimes your appearance and your scent can deter investors away from you. You came to ask for investment, but they looked at you. They saw you and they didn't want to invest in your company. Because you couldn't take care of yourself. How can you take care of the business that they want to invest in? Personal business. Sew new clothes. Buy a suit. Wear a tie. Every day you are in sandals. Every day you cannot be in sandals everywhere. You are coming for a business meeting. You are wearing Opanka sandals and your Adikidon top. And your hair is unkempt. And when you open your mouth, there is scent all over the place. If I have money, I will not put my money into your company. The way you appear at the table determines that you are a very serious person. So take care of yourself. And the reason why the girls don't like you is because when they come near you, you are smelling. Your room is smelling, your hall is smelling, your fridge is unkept. Your room, the bucket there is old, the curtains are old, your carpet is old, your whole house is smelling. The fridge, there are cockroaches in your fridge. There are some places, I've gone to places where they have fetched water for me in a glass. And I didn't drink it because when I look at the glass, the smell at the tip of the glass, the environment, your personality, the way the chair you sit in your house, The chair is old. There's scent in the chair. The scent in the chair has affected your body. You don't smell well. This is my church. I'm teaching my members. I want my members to look well. And it doesn't, you don't have to have a big house at all. The small house that God has given to you, maintain it. Get refreshener. Open the windows. Change your curtains. Bed sheets. Change bed. You don't sleep on the bed for 3 weeks. The same bed sheet for 3 weeks. Your pillow is brown instead of white. Your towels. There are holes in your towels. You don't wash. You know that a towel needs washing. Wash your towel. Go to the dentist once or twice in a year and let them remove and put dye in your teeth. It's a new season of taking care of yourself. It's a new season of taking care of yourself. And wives, advise your husband. And husband, advise your wife. Look well. Smell well. Go to Opera Square. They sell Tulale perfume. Start from there. We have all worn Tulale before. You know what is Tulale? Today you are wearing Gucci perfume, but years ago you have to wear any perfume. And have deodorant. If you don't come by deodorant, use lime or lemon and clean your armpit and raise it up. 15 minutes before you take a shower. 15 minutes with lime. Put lime all over your bed. You see that you'll be itching small, but put lime all over your body and sit down for 15 minutes before you take a shower. To remove the scent from your skin. Because it matters a lot the way you smell at a meeting. The way you look at a meeting. The way you appear at work on Monday. It matters a lot. The way your boss sees you. I mean, when I come to the compound and I see an unkept dressing of my staff member, I rebuke immediately. I will tell them, why are you dressed this way? Why are you looking this way? Go home. And go and look well. The fact that you are working in the church obviously means that you should just appear like a pauper. No. In my church here, the resident pastor, the deputy, they are in suit. On days when they come to work. If you come here doing it, you can see that my staff is in suit or wearing tie. One lady called Reverend Betty King from the UK. He came here to come and look for me, and I was not here. And then I came later. Then she met me. She said, Reverend, I was very impressed. All your staff are in suit. This is very impressive. I'm going to implement the same thing in my UK church. She commented on the dressing of the staff. And it would shock my staff members. They have struggled with that. My staff, they don't like to dress well. They want to wear biarabiara and come to work. And it's a fight at staff meeting. And I wonder, I said, if you can't dress well and wear a suit and look very well, then get out of the staff. Then resign. Because I don't want people to say, you left commercial work or whatever, and you came to work for the church, and look at the way the church has reduced you to. No, I don't want your parents or whatever to come and say that, I'm not taking care of you. No. So dress well. When you enter their offices, look, I said, You can't be eating kenke on your office desk. Well, we have created a dining place. There is a cook here that cooks afternoon meal. The cleaners, they have a staff dining. The cleaners here, they have a staff dining. You don't sit and open your legs and be eating wache from the ground. No. No. I saw one of my staff members, one of my cleaners going dress and carry the banana and walking like this. I took her to the staff meeting. I said they should tell that girl that the next time I see her on this compound, dress that way, walking around with banana and things, she's fired from this place. She's fired from this place. The fact that you are a cleaner doesn't mean that you should make yourself be a labiara on the compound. You are being paid. They give you 1 meal a day. We pay your social security. We pay your tax. We give you allowances. It doesn't mean that you should just work anyhow. No, it's not allowed. It's the house of God. People must look well, dress well, and everything. For the sake of the kingdom. I'm not running the Kokope ministry. And I encourage all staff members, take courses, whatever, anything you want to do. I said, have a private business. All my cleaners, they have private businesses. All my cleaners, and yes, all my cleaners have private businesses. They are built, some of them are building, cleaners building. Because of the preaching, some of the cleaners have bought lands in Pokrom. Because we give the opportunity to pay bit by bit. They pay that, now they are built. Some of them are building, cleaners. Some of them have become sound engineers. If you look at the people who are doing sound engineers in this house, they were cleaners. Some of them were cleaners. Some of them are now on the camera. Some of them are in their businesses. They are expanding. The church must bring you transformation. Some of my staff members have become honorable. Honorable. They are assemblymen. They have become assemblymen. They are into when NDC used this place as a pulling station. When the government used this as a pulling station, I was surprised when I came on the compound. I said, I saw my staff members, I saw my cleaners and things who have become pulling agents. Hey, returning officers. I saw one of my son engineer going around. I said, but what are you doing? So he's the. This is a returning officer, and these are the pink sheets. The pink sheets are on your wall, so that he was explaining to me, pink sheets on my wall. And I said, but what are you? He told me what he has become. All because of the preaching in his house. May the Lord help you to step into your new season. May you be greater than you have done. Yourself, your ministry, your wife, your children. God bless you. Love you all.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 2676760 55 +233 2676760 55 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com info@godswordforus.com.